Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along in your worship guide or in your church Bible on page 726. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
So we have plenty of moments in life where things don't go as we were hoping they would, don't go as they were planned. And sometimes they can be kind of funny. When Becca was pregnant with Neville, we did a gender reveal for our family over FaceTime. We tied a bunch of blue balloons to our dog, set up one of our phones on the back porch, and Biscuit was going to run out on the back porch and let everyone know that it was a boy. So we're ready to go. We tie the balloons to Biscuit's collar, and that's when we discover she is terrified of balloons. I mean, terrified. And so we're all set to go. We open up the door and she takes off just running from these blue monsters that are chasing behind her. And as she runs out onto the porch, the balloons hit our cactus collection, a detail we had not taken into account, and they start popping. Bang, bang, bang. And at this point, like, Biscuit is out. This is the last straw. She is done. Her bladder lets loose all over the porch. She runs off camera and just leaves this pile of empty balloons on the ground there. I like get my face down, like in front of the phone. I was like, "We're gonna call you back in a minute." You know, some failures like that are funny. Maybe not always in the moment, but sometimes we can look back on some of those moments in our life and we can laugh. We can laugh because it felt safe. You know, nothing major was at risk. But not every failure feels like that, does it? You know, there's others that, at least for me, that are a little harder to laugh at. When the stakes feel higher, when the risk feels bigger, things that maybe we wish we could forget about. Well, that's where we find Jonah here at the start of chapter 3. Jonah's been on a crazy ride. God called him to Nineveh, Israel's enemy. God said, "Go." Jonah said, "No." So God sent him this storm, a severe mercy that ended with Jonah getting thrown into the ocean, swallowed by a giant fish, and probably thinking, "Well, this is how my life ends." But there, down in the belly of a whale, God starts working in his heart. God leads Jonah to repentance. It's imperfect, but it's real. And as Jonah cries out for the Lord to save him, he gets puked out onto the shore. And so if you're Jonah right now at this point, how are you feeling? God's prophet, humbled, exhausted, covered in whale vomit. He's on the other side of failure. You know, he had a chance, and it didn't go well. In fact, I don't know how it could have gone much worse. And so here's the big question. What's God gonna do? Have you ever wondered that? When things didn't go as you were hoping in life? You know, maybe in the small, everyday struggles with sin we all have. When we react to someone in a way that gosh, we just regret. Or snap at our spouse on the way to church. Or we miss a little opportunity to show compassion to someone at work. Or maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe we did something so hurtful that we're not sure if we can get that friendship back. We find ourselves going to places online we promised we were done with. We lose our temper with our neighbor. On the other side of those moments, I think we can go to one of two different directions. One can be to think, God can't use me after that. I fell short in some small everyday moment or some bigger, more damaging way, and I know I can be forgiven, but I don't think God would work through me after that. Or we can swing over to the other side of thinking, all right, God, I'm going to prove I'm still worth using. You just give me a second chance to get out there. I'll show you I can get it right this time. Well, what if in the places we trip up, or the places we fall hard, we met God's restoring grace and we stepped back into his mission? Yeah, what if failure doesn't have to be the end of the story, but the place where God meets us, renews us, and sends us back out into the everyday places he's called us? Well, that's where Jonah's story takes a surprising turn. So Jonah's back on dry land. He's alive, but that's about it. And the question, I mean, it's just hanging there. What's God gonna do now? And in verse 1, we get what I think are maybe some of the most surprising words in the entire book. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. After all the running, the resigning, the repentance, after everything Jonah's been through, the word of the Lord comes to him a second time. Now, Jonah, he didn't ask for another chance. And the reality was, he didn't deserve one. I mean, God said, east, Jonah went west. It all fell apart right from the beginning. What's happening here? I mean, this should blow our minds. Really? A second chance? How's that even possible? Because this doesn't have anything to do with Jonah, but everything to do with God. This is God taking the initiative in Jonah's life, coming to him again in restoring grace. You see, God hasn't quit on Jonah. I mean, we've watched as he's pursued him, confronted him, softened him, and now, on the other side of Jonah's failure, he meets him with unexpected mercy. And then says to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Now, if that sounds familiar, it should. You know, that's almost the exact same words that chapter 1 starts off with. God's not only restoring Jonah, but he's sending back out there his imperfect prophet. He's giving him, again, his message to this important city. God is, in effect here, he's kind of saying, Jonah, I'm not benching you. No, even though you fell short, I'm meeting you here on the shore to restore you and resend you back to where I called you. Grace means failure doesn't have to be the end of the story. not for Jonah and not for us. You know, it's kind of like the Japanese art of kintsugi, where they take this broken pottery and they put it back together with this gold resin. The cracks don't disappear. They get transformed into something more beautiful than before. The break becomes part of the story. And that's what God's doing here with Jonah. He's not replacing him. He's restoring him. You see, God loves to use broken people in his mission. In fact, that's all he has to work with. I mean, just read through the Bible. Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, Solomon. I mean, they were all flawed and fallen people that God uses in his story of redemption. You know, in the places where we fall short, God's knee-jerk reaction is to meet us there with undeserved, unexpected mercy. To, like Jonah, lead us to repentance and the joy of his forgiving love, and then say to us these same words, "Arise and go." He's not benching you. No, he's sending you back out with his message to a lost and hurting world. Now, maybe as you're hearing this, that there's a part of you that says yes to it, but a part of you that's struggling with it. Yeah, maybe you've been hurt by a pastor or someone in leadership, and are carrying this morning real pain from that. And Jonah's story here, it could sound like it's just brushing aside the hurt you carry from that person's sin. I mean, is what's happening here, is this just a blank check for leadership restoration? If that's you, I want to say, I am so sorry. And I get it. You know, I've got some of my own hurt that I've experienced from people in leadership, even as a pastor. Hurt that, if I'm being honest, it still feels a little raw sometimes. And there's a few reasons why I think we can see what's happening in Jonah's story here. It's not just giving leaders a free pass. If you notice, Jonah didn't ask to be put back into his role. There weren't other people saying he should be put back in his role. This was God's initiative. And it happened after Jonah's gone through a process of repentance. And even more, when we zoom out to the rest of the Bible, we see that while God loves to reuse broken people, it doesn't always happen exactly like it does here for Jonah. God doesn't always call people right back into the same role, especially for people in leadership. I mean, as a pastor, there's hurtful, sinful decisions I could make that after a process of repentance and restoration, yeah, God could still use me in some way in his mission, not as a pastor anymore. Yeah, his mercy restores, but his wisdom may set new boundaries. But with all of that, the heartbeat of Jonah's story here remains the same. Grace restores fallen people. Not just for Jonah, but all of us. In our everyday struggles, or our heavier regrets, when we find ourselves on the shore with Jonah, we still hear God's word that restores us and resends us. And that's where, if you're like me, I think the real challenge begins. Because our hearts are prone to resist this grace. To think instead, no, God, just give me a second chance to prove I'm worth it. Let me have a do-over. And I'll show you, this time I can do better. I can be better. And when our hearts start to believe that, we may follow God to the people he's sending us to, but it's really just to outrun our guilt. Or we think, I'm too messy for God to use me. I've got too many regrets in my past. I don't measure up in the present. And maybe it isn't the shame we carry from the things we've done, but the hurt and harm of what someone else has done to us. You know, maybe we're here today thinking, God can't use someone with a story like mine. And as we stand there on the shore with Jonah, at that place where God's runaway prophet hears his word a second time, arise and go. If you're like me, sometimes I think, how? How can God just send him back like that? I mean, the whole thing here, it just feels so fragile. What if Jonah runs again? What if the people of Nineveh call him a hypocrite? What if no one listens? What if I stumble again? What if we stumble again? Well, we're about to find out how this all works. In verse 4, it says, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah walks into Nineveh, God's enemy, with a message that they probably didn't want to hear. But as people listen, God softened their hearts. And it says in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh, they believed God. They called for a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. The least likely prophet in the least likely place, and it worked. Now next week, Michael Van Patter, he's going to help us see a little bit more of what's going on with the people of Nineveh here. But here's the important thing for today. God not only restores Jonah and resends Jonah, but he works through him. He works through him to do something incredible. How's this happening? I mean, grace like this, it shouldn't work. Not if God's holy, not if our failures really matter. It only makes sense. It only makes sense if there's something deeper at work here than just Jonah's story. God's mission keeps going because someone greater than Jonah secured it. Christ. You see, unlike Jonah, Jesus didn't need God's word to come to him a second time. He obeyed from the beginning. From eternity, he said yes to God's call and then came. Not just to risk his life for a dangerous city, but to give up his life for a fallen world. And like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, Jesus spent 3 days in the pit of a grave, but death couldn't hold him. No, he rose, not in failure's remains, but resurrection glory as living proof that God's mission, it can't fail. I mean, can you feel the relief of that? God's plans of grace have been secured through the cross-shaped love and the resurrection power of Christ. Guys, this is how we can know failure. It doesn't have to be the end of the story. Jesus didn't come for our goodness, our rightness, our put-togetherness. No, he came for our sin, our shame, our falling short. He came to redeem our past, to claim our present, to guarantee our future, and to invite you into the privilege of joining him in his mission of turning our fallen world right side up again. This is the Jesus whose eyes never look away from the wounded, whose hands always reach for the fallen. You know, early on in the Gospels, there's this moment where the disciples are out fishing. They haven't caught anything. So Jesus tells them to drop their nets on the other side of the boat. And they get a catch so big they can barely pull it in. And Peter, sensing there's something different about this guy, Jesus says, "Stay away from me. I'm a sinful man." Jesus, you are so holy, and I've fallen so short, you wouldn't want to be anywhere near me, and I wouldn't blame you. Now, fast forward to the end of the Gospels. The disciples are out fishing again, haven't caught anything. And the now risen Christ tells them to put down their nets on the other side of the boat. And they get a catch so big, the nets almost break. And this time, Peter, who 3 days earlier failed Jesus when he was at his lowest moment, he dives out of the boat and swims to Jesus. What changed? Peter got the gospel. He knew now that the safest place on earth was the embrace of Jesus. So this time, he doesn't hide. He runs to the one who's already loved him. And as Peter stands there on the shore, on the other side of his own failure, Jesus looks at him, loves him, and says, "Peter, feed my sheep." Jesus not only restores him, but he sends him back out in his mission of redeeming love. Because that's what Christ loves to do. When in the wake of our struggles and setbacks, we think, I'm just too messy for this. I've got too much in my past. There's still so much I'm facing in the present. The cross declares to you today, your suffering and sin doesn't define you. No, what defines you now is the outstretched arms of Christ. And his grace is powerful enough not just to forgive you, but send you out again into his mission with renewed confidence. Or when we think, I've got to prove to God I'm worth the second chance. I can't let anybody see my weaknesses. I can't let anyone pick up a hint of whale vomit on me. Jesus, the risen Jesus, looks at you and says, "Friend, you've got nothing to prove." On Good Friday, I cried, "It is finished." And on Easter Sunday, I rose declaring, "I'm making all things new." And so you can rest in the one whose love never fails and follow his calling with freedom and joy. See, this is how God can restore and resend and send back out his runaway prophet. It's how he can meet us in the cracks and chasms of our lives with the same restoring, resending grace. It's how God's mission keeps going, not just despite our failures, but through them, because Jesus himself has already guaranteed the ending and is now saying to us today, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Arise and go." And even when we drift or doubt, his voice still comes a second time. This is the love that keeps finding us on the shore, that's stronger than our sin, that's steadier than our hearts. So now, like Jonah, we too can rise and return. So now, in the small, frustrating moments we wish we could undo, in the big, painful ones we wish we could forget, the gospel frees us from believing we're too broken to be useful, or we need a second chance to prove we can do it. Instead, the gospel invites us to rise and return to the places God's called us with the life-changing story of Jesus. It invites us to trust God's restoring grace and step back into his mission, even when that's hard. I mean, just think about where God's calling Jonah back to. Nineveh. I mean, that was the spark for his entire meltdown. God's calling him back there. This won't be easy. For Jonah to follow God, he'll have to depend on his grace every step of the way. And guys, it's the same with us. Following God will always mean leaning on his grace every step we go. It's a risk. But it's a risk we can take. Because through the gospel, the same God who came to Jonah a second time now lives in us by his Spirit all the time. So that as we abide in Christ, we daily draw on the Spirit's renewing power that sustains us and sends us. We can rise, trusting the Spirit to work in us as he works through us. So what could that look like this week? Maybe it could look like reaching out to a strained relationship that you've gradually grown distant from. Not fix everything right away, but to bring presence where distance has grown. Or maybe it could look like re-engaging with a way that you've served our city but have gotten a little disconnected from. And that doesn't mean necessarily jumping right back all the way in, but it could just mean in one small way that right now feels possible, not perfect. Or maybe it could look like starting a prayer card about someone you know that maybe quietly you've thought, gosh, I just think this person is too far from God. And as you pray with curiosity and hopefulness, watch how God may start writing a story of redemption in his own way. Knowing that in all of this, yeah, we are still going to stumble and struggle. I mean, just wait a couple weeks till we get to chapter 4. God works through Jonah, even while there is still a lot of work for him to do in Jonah. And as God works through us, he'll also be working in us. But that's okay. Because our calling isn't to be perfect, but present with the people God sends us to. Because we know, even as we go, failure doesn't have to be the end of the story. Now, Jesus loves to restore and resend broken people, like all of us, to show the wonder of his gospel. So we get to rise and go, not to prove anything, but to join the one who in grace keeps coming for us. Amen. Amen.